This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Columbia Tire Sales, Pella Corporation, and Skuring and Utermart. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Van Manen, Seatster, Meyer & Nickel, Crossroads of Pella, and Iowa State Savings Bank. Enjoy the program.
How is the agricultural economy doing, and what does it mean for Main Street? In the third part of a 10-part program on health and wealth, let's go in-depth with Leslie Miller with the Iowa State Savings Bank in Knoxville. Leslie, as this interview is taking place, the Farm Bill has been passed through Congress and it's sitting on President Trump's desk. What does the Farm Bill mean for the farm economy?
Does give us a sense of stability. Prior to this, the Farm Bill was due to expire December 31st. So Congress did have to act, either that or they would have to grant an extension. But it does give us some stability and rules moving forward. The public will hear a lot about the cost of the Farm Bill. It's an $867 billion package, but that's a 10-year cost. That's the Congressional Budget Office projecting what the cost would be for the next 10 years, given the rules that are in the bill. What the public should know is that 80% of that cost actually goes for food stamps and nutrition programs. So the actual farm component is only about $17.3 billion a year. When you factor that in, the farmers get a very small piece. They only get 20% of that budget or of that dollar amount. Plus, that's not just for farm commodity programs, that's also for conservation expenses and water quality expenses as well.
Okay, and so we know that prices are down. We've lost our Chinese market, at least for now. Farmers have had several tough years now. Is this going to solve their problems? I mean, we know that in part the Farm Bill exists and the agricultural component are to stabilize our food supply so that farmers can stay in business through tough years. Is this enough to help?
No, this is not really what's needed. What's really needed is for the tariffs to go away. Farmers really do not want government handouts. They want to engage in free markets and sell their product to people that are hungry outside the borders of our country. There's a lot of hungry people in the world that would love to eat the food provided by the United States. Our farmers are tremendously efficient. We overproduce more food than this country can use, but it's been a benefit to the world, and now the tariffs are locking that excess food supply within our borders, which is driving the prices down. And the tough part is that the producers, you know, they're getting lower and lower prices, but the consumers at the grocery store, they're really not seeing those prices roll back. You never see the price of beef really fall. Cattle are worth quite a bit less than they were 2 years ago on the fat market, but people don't see that market fall. You're paying as much for your hamburger and your roast today as you were 2 years ago. So those price losses actually hurt the farmers, benefit the middlemen, and do not benefit the consumers. So that Farm Bill really doesn't help any of those economic dynamics. What it does help is that it lets us know that crop insurance will exist in the future, which is very important for farmers to be able to borrow money to put a crop in. They might spend $600 putting in an acre of corn and $400 putting in an acre of soybeans. That's a lot of money. And if there's not crop insurance in place to let lenders know that there's a support level there, if the weather doesn't cooperate, then farmers could not borrow that money. So that was an important piece of the Farm Bill, and thank goodness that passed.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Vanderbeek Truck Accessories, Motor and Auto Group, and Kevin Wadley, CPA. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Knoxville Hy-Vee, Knoxville Raceway, and Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham.
I continued my conversation with Leslie Miller with the Iowa State Savings Bank in Knoxville. Now, Senator Ernst voted for the farm bill. Senator Grassley was highly critical of it.
I will tell you right now, I wholeheartedly agree with Senator Grassley's stance on the farm bill. We have seen over and over how beginning farmers have to wrestle some very, very big farmers for, you know, it's very hard for them to be able to rent ground. The big farmers might bid up the cost of cash rent. The state of Iowa has tried to level that playing field by providing some tax-exempt incentives to farmers that are, landlords that rent to beginning farmers. But that has just not been enough to offset it. It used to be years ago that USDA had a $40,000 per person limit on any of the benefits that you could get. But over the years, that has mushroomed to $125,000. And they've broken programs apart so that you might get $125,000 in three different programs for a total of $375,000. And now, it used to have to be actively farming to get that payment. With the new farm bill rules, you do not have to be actively farming to get those payments now. And so Senator Grassley is spot on when he says that is not correct. That's not the way that program should be run.
So as I'm reading it, I have a cousin that's a farmer, or let's say I have a brother that's a farmer, I could get farm payments?
You could get support payments. I mean, the farm's only going to get as much as the farm qualifies for. But if that farmer hits that $125,000 limit, he could all of a sudden say, Dr. Bob, you are now my partner in this operation, and you can come up here and look at the crops one time per year and make a few comments on it, and you will qualify for the $25,000 that I would have had to leave on the table because I've hit my $125,000 limit. And if you want to write me a check for that back, I'll be really happy. You know, there's just so many loopholes that they put in place by allowing that expansion of benefits. And I think that's really wrong. What I would hope is that when the new Congress is in place next year, somebody goes back and looks at that and reins that in, because that really is not the way that law should be written.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by Great Western Bank in Sully, American Family Insurance agent Phil Griffin, and Anytime Fitness in Pella. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you'd like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Two Rivers Cooperative, Pella Regional Health Center, and Marion County Bank.
I continued my conversation with Leslie Miller with the Iowa State Savings Bank in Knoxville. Well, who would lobby for such a thing? It just seems so wrong. I mean, who would lobby for such a thing? Who has the power to make that happen?
The benefit right now to keeping big farmers in business and letting them grow bigger, we have corporations that manufacture very, very large pieces of equipment that can only be afforded by those types of operations. Someone had pointed out that the other day that corn in the late 70s was worth about $3 a bushel, and you could buy a 225 horsepower tractor for about $7,800. Today, corn is worth $3.70 a bushel, so it's higher, but that same tractor is going to cost you $225,000. So it takes a very large operation to be able to afford those kinds of machinery costs. We have some lenders out there, and I'm going to point fingers, Farm Credit is one in particular, that would really like to loan to just a very few very large farmers, because it's a lot easier to make a loan to one operation than it is to make a loan to five operations and put out the same dollars. So they're certainly very happy with the way things are. Same thing with seed and chemical suppliers. They don't really need a lot of customers. They just need a lot of product to move. And so all those entities together are very supportive of larger operations and not very supportive of smaller operations. Dairy industry is another industry. We have lots of family dairy farms that are going out of business because the milk price levels that we're at right now do not support the smaller operations.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on health and wealth is brought to you in part by the Pella Indoor Pool, Newton Village, Culver's of Pella, and Edward Jones Financial Advisors in Pella. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening magazines. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, IntelliSense of Pella, Community First Credit Union mortgage originator Amanda Krenz, iHealth Solutions, and Mercy Clinics Indianola.
I continued my conversation with Leslie Miller with the Iowa State Savings Bank in Knoxville.
But you have big operations in western Iowa with 3,000 and 4,000 cows. Those are not family farm operations. You have those operations in western Iowa that are supplying all the milk that AE Dairy in Des Moines needs. They do not pull milk from any of the small dairies around Des Moines. So when AE advertises that they get milk from family farms, they don't. They get them from very large corporate farms in western Iowa, and that's happened all over the United States. The tough part will become when we consolidate those farms enough. At some point in time, one of those farms could have a disease problem of some sort where all their milk would have to be destroyed, and then the milk supply to the U.S. consumer is in real trouble, because all of a sudden we will have much less milk and we will have the same consumer demand for it. So consumers should be very concerned about over-consolidation in farms, especially of meat and dairy products, because a disease outbreak could really jeopardize the food supply. We saw that, 3 or 4 years ago with the avian flu outbreak, and all of a sudden, egg costs skyrocketed, poultry costs went up quite a bit. That's the kind of danger we might face throughout the food supply by having only very large operations.
Now, what does all of this mean for small-town Iowa?
For small-town Iowa, what it actually means is you have a potential for fewer farm families, fewer kids in the schools, fewer people doing business with the bank, fewer people doing business with our Main Street merchants, fewer people using the hospital. It's just a very tough environment for Main Street USA to have this situation develop. We also have the double whammy of the farmers that do survive, the smaller size farmers. They are very limited in the amount of profit that they're making, which also limits the dollars that they can spend in our Main Street businesses.
Thanks to Leslie Miller for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.